Okay, because the recording tonight did not come out properly, I'm going to re-record tonight's share starting on the bottom of 5B. Eitz Chaim Ho HaChamesh Meos Shana. The Eitz Chaim is a tree of life, it's 500-year journey. Or maybe it will be light, like Sefdov and Noifai. It doesn't mean the branches. It means, I feel across, even the trunk of the Eitz HaChayim is 500 years across. So the world is 500 years walk across the earth, and the Eitz HaChayim is also 500 years. So the pshat is that that's actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin, apparently in 38b. It says that it's a 500-year journey. So by saying that the diameter of the tree of life is 500-year journey, it teaches metaphorically that the tree of life sustains the entire world. This is the Eitz Yosef's pshat in Bereishis Rabbah, and that's the idea here. So let's go to 6a. Whole pilug may Bereishis mispalgam mitachtov. The branches of the water, so it says the pasuk na yotzei edim lahashkas adam v'shomim part v'hoyla avar rashim. So that wellspring of water comes out from underneath the Eitz HaChayim, and then from there we show me parade, and then from there it goes out to feed the whole world. So that's again, it's the same idea. Matam, he shall be like the tree planted upon the divisions of water. Tony, Eitz Chaim, Echem Lagan. The Eitz HaChayim is 1/60th of the garden. Gan, Echem Mishishim, the Gan is 1/60th of Eden. The Nahar Yotzim, Eden, but the Nahar came out from Eden to irrigate, to water the garden. Now, the fact that the leftover waters of one field could be used to irrigate another field, based on a general rule, which is the Yerushalmi is going to state that rule, which is Tamsis Kor Tarkav Shoset, that the remnant of water of a core could irrigate an area which is three kavan. Tarkav is a concatenation of two words, tre and kav, two kavan and kav is a third kav, is two and one is three. So a core, which is an area, which is, let's see, 30 saw is equal to a core. So 30 saw is equal to 60 half saw, right? So three kavan is equal to 1/60th of a core, okay? Because a six kavan to a saw, okay? Three kavan is a half saw, six kavan to a saw. There's three kavan to a core is 1/60. So if you have a if you have an area which is had was watered by a water source, and then you have overflow, leftover water, so that could irrigate an area of Tarkov. So based on that, so here we're seeing that the leftover water from Aden is Mashka the gun. So the assumption is that the gun is therefore 1/60th of the size of the gun of the Aden. Gun is 1/60th of Aden. Okay. Now, Tom says Kush Mitzrayim Shosa, and the remnant water of Kush Mitzrayim could drink. So that means Mitzrayim is going to be 1/60th the size of Kush. And since we know that Mitzrayim is Mahalach HaBarim, it takes 40 days to full cost Mitzrayim, so you take 40 times 60, and you get the total number of days, which is, let's see here, what's the number? It's the equal to, right, 60 times 40 is 220, 2,400, and divide that into years, so you get 6 years and 210 days. So that's how long it takes to go across Kush. Rabbi Huda said before, the thickness of the firmament is 50-year journey. So now we're going to say other shitas. The Rabbanan Amar Kishnei Avos Rishonim, that the amount of years that the Avos, that's to say Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived, and they lived a total of 502 years. The Yerushalmi is ignoring the 2 years, saying it's 500. Some Mefarshim say because Avraham wasn't Makiras Baro until 3, so therefore the first 2 years he doesn't have a shame of, so they're not counting those 2 years, or they're just rounding it up, whatever it is. Just to, for the record, Avraham lived 175 years, Yitzchak lived 180 years, and Yaakov lived 147 years. That's a total of 502. So just like it says, Kimei HaShemayim Al Haaretz, that if you go ahead and you're mekayim the mitzvos, so it's kasha nishma l'avoseichem, like Hashem promised to your forefathers, kimei hashemayim al haaretz. That means that the years of our forefathers, which are like the days of the heaven upon the earth, meaning they lived as long in total as the number of years it would take you to travel from earth to Shemayim. So it's like from earth to Rekia is 500 years. So to Bein Rekia L'Rekia Mahalach HaMesh Me'os Shana, each Rekia is 500-year journey. Oiv Yav Mahalach HaMesh Me'os Shana, and the thickness of each firmament is a 500-year journey. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda held the thickness of the firmament was a 50-year journey, they hold it's a 500-year journey. There's a note here that the truth of the matter is that what we were talking about earlier, we were talking about the term firmament in reference to Rabbi Yehuda earlier. We were talking about the distance it takes the sun to go through the firmament from sunrise to, you know, to from sunset through the window. So really, they're talking about two different things. They don't necessarily disagree. The Chazanish makes out this point. But the bottom line is, the simple meaning over here is, Rabbi said 50 years, and they're going to say 500 years. Let's keep going. Why did you say the thickness is 500-year journey? There's water between. There's a firmament between the waters. So there's waters on earth, there's waters above heaven. So apparently if the distance from the earth to the firmament is 500 years, so then it's batavech. So this is going to be another area which is exactly the same. In the midst means the phrase in the midst, the tov. So batavech means it's exactly the same thickness. It's 500 and 500. So now the Gemara is going to discuss a possible question on the pasuk, because it says Breishis Shemayim, Breishis Bara Elokim Es Hashemayim V'Es Haaretz, and then on day two it says Yehi Rekia V'Toch Hamayim. The Gemara is worried about what's this Yehi Rekia. What is Hashem telling that there should be a Rekia? The Rekia isn't that part of Shemayim. So what is going on in that pasuk? So the Gemara is going to say different pshatim. The idea is Yehi doesn't mean it should be created, but Yehi means it should solidify. Rav Amar, Lachem Hayu Shemayim Bayim Harishon, the Shemayim was fluid. Ubashen and Karshu, the second day, it congealed, it became hard. Rav Amar Yehi Rekia, let there be a firmament, that means Yechazak Rekia. It's the same idea, that it should become strong, it should stiffen. Yikrash Rekia should congeal. Yiglan Rekia, it should crust. It should stretch. Let it be like a flat, like a cloth. The rakia is just like the word vayiraku, which means they flattened out the sheets of gold when they're building the Mishkan. So here too, it's a flattening out. So it's kind of like, so on day one, the raw materials for which the subsequent Sheshes and Megracious were used was created. Some of it was in a very raw state and needed to be refined to be able to be used. So that was Hashem was saying on the second day, Yehi Rekia V'Toch Hamayim, that was making it more permanent. or more usable, more malleable, however you want to attach the yihi. Take a look at the Ramban over there in Chumash, on that pasuk, you'll see the Ramban says that these things, these matters, are all hidden in the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't really describe them exactly and precisely, and therefore it's actually usur for someone, even who has a very good understanding of it, to delve into it. And kosher kein anu, he says, that's the Ramban speaking, kosher kein we, who don't have an understanding. And therefore, we're not spending any time on these Gemaras at all, because this is way beyond our understanding. Here we have another opinion that the width of the rikia is only two fingers. Then 6b, mostly the Reb Chanina pliga, then Reb Chanina argues, because he holds it's not even two fingers, he holds it's less than a finger. Did you roll out the firmaments with him to be as strong as molten mirror? Takia malami shina string katas. So takia teaches us it's like a thin sheet of metal that's rolled out. The thickness is like a thin sheet of metal. It's not even one finger's breadth. Yonah shina bin, you might think it's not strong. Tamalemra chazok, if it's strong, it's very strong. Yochol yehin nisrapin. Tamalemra kiri mutsuk. The pasuk, again, referring back to that same pasuk in Iyov. It's Iyov. Herod Lamed Zion Pasuk Yud Ches, which is basically the Matsuda says, a mirror cast from molten metal is stronger than one that is hammered out from solid metal. So this is like molten type of a mirror. The world is molten. So Choshev Shon, you're in Mutsakim, each and every moment they appear freshly molten. This is now, the Yishami now is discussing sustainability of the world, the way Rabbeinu Shalom created it, it remains fresh. Here we have two examples. It says, if a person goes ahead and stretches out a tent, or the Mosef, oh hell, I'll be a day shahos, rough it. So over a bit of time, it slackens, right? Whenever you stretch out a tent, it starts to weaken. You have to retighten the supports in order to get the tent to be taut again. Gram Hakam, but over here, when the world, we're talking about the world, Vayim Tachim Ka'ohel Lo Shaves. He stretched them like a tent to dwell in. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Parat Mem, Pasuk of Beis, Uksiv Chazakim, it's strong, like we said before. And so he compared it to a tent, and it remains taut, doesn't need to be retightened. Person pours utensils from molten metal. But after time, it rusts. But over here, it says molten mirror, meaning every moment, it's as perfect as the moment when they were molten. This again proves that the world remains in a perfect form. Rav Zaya Amar Alhad Rav Shimon Lakish. So he commented about this. He said, "Vayichu Hashem Laaretz Folks Ma'am Vayichalu Lokim Vayimashvi Vayidarek Etmus Mashvi." So the seventh day, it says that the parsha of Shabbos that the Kodesh Baruch Hu rested. And what does it say right after that? Parak Beis. It says the beginning of the paragraph after the Yom HaShvi. It says Maksim Basrei Eila Tovus Hashemai. It says these are the Tovus, but he bar up. So Ma'inyan Zet Eitzel Zet. What does one thing have to do with the other? Meaning, the follow up sukkim, but Eila usually would like be an introductory remark about what it's going to follow, but there's nothing really that follows the Eila Pasuk that it would be referring to. So it seems to be connected to the previous Psukim. So what does that mean? How does Eila Tolos Shemayim Ba'aretz Barom, how does that refer to the Bria? Ela Yom Nifnas Yom Yotze. One day goes, one day comes. Shabbos Nifnas Shabbos Yotze. Chodesh Nifnas Chodesh Yotze. Shana Nifnas Shana Yotze. Weeks go by, months go by, years go by. And nonetheless, you might expect the world to show some sign of aging, Pasuk says, Ela told us Hashemayim Haaretz Behibarim Yamas Hashem Elokim Haaretz Hashemayim, that it's Behibarim, it's just like the day they were created. Some of it just thought of that we didn't talk about in the Shir. Amaisa, we say, Hamachadesh Retuvo Bukhoyon Tamimasa Veracious. This is a constant refrain, which we say often in davening. So each day, we say that Hashem is machadish the world every day. So that is like a little bit of a different concept than what the Yerushalmi here is saying. The idea of machadish tuoi b'chol tomas rishis is as if the world is being renewed, would be more like he's being machadish it. It wouldn't be as big a shavach as what we're saying here. The Yerushalmi is really praising the Ribbono Shel Olam's act of the Bria from the very get-go, that from the time the world was created, it was fresh and remained fresh. That's clear from this all the Gemaras we've just read. But Mechaish Betul B'chadim Tom Masa Veracious sounds more like there's a refresher going on each day. It might be interesting to think about, I would say, two perspectives of the Mechadesh versus the Behibara. Very thought-provoking idea here. And Sefer Shmos Rishonah, so you have until the Sefer of the first Hashmaris. Rabbi Omer, Abom Hashmaris by Yom, Abom Hashmaris by Laila. The four Hashmaris by day, four by night. One other thing I said by the Shir was that we had a Gemara that said that the person should stand during Shemona Esrei, either he's like a Malach or he's like the Kohen. So I pointed out that the Mishnah is also very interesting. The Kriya Shema, we had two references to the idea of Kohanim. It's Mishar Shalakon with Nasan Lecha with Shemason. That's the time when Myrav starts, Kriya Shema Shal Arvis begins at Tzeitzak Kavavim, and that's the Kohanim. And how long does it go? So we said, Rabbi Lazar said, the Shlish, the Ashmaris Harishana, the first Shlish, that's the Malachim. So you have the Malachim and the Kohanim already mentioned in the Mishnah. over here, Rebbe is going to disagree with Rebbe Lazar, because Rebbe Lazar, we said if it's to the end of the first Mishmar, that there are three Mishmaros, and it's the end of the third, that's one third of the night. Here, Rebbe is saying that there's not three Mishmaros, there are four Ashmaros, and there's four by day, four by night. We mentioned that the Bavli doesn't seem to have the day part. I don't remember where I saw that. I saw that someplace that the Bavli does not mention the four by day. I offhand, I don't remember where I saw it. But the kids are here. The Yerushalmi says that there are four by day as well. Oh, yeah, it's here in footnote 12. It says Bavli 3a mentions only watches during the night. Here it is on the bottom over here. I know I saw it someplace. And now he breaks out each hour. Each hour is, so there's 24 hours in a day. Ona is 1/24 of an hour. Ace is 1/24 of an ona. Harega ace. And rega is 1/24 of a ace. So if you do 24 times 24 times 24, that's how much you get for an hour, which is 13,824th of an hour. So the Gemara says, Kamahu Rega. Gemara wants to know a way of measuring it. That's how long it takes you to say Rega. But I'm going to clarify, it's even shorter than that. It's a hair of ayin. And now we're going to say how long that is. It's 156,848th part of an hour, which is, it says that it is equal to slightly longer than, let's see, it's over here. 113,824th is slightly longer than 1/4 of a second. That was the previous sheepdog. Now the other one, yeah, the other one, which is 156,848, he says that's 1/16 of a second. So it's a difference of 1/4 of a second to 1/16 of a second. That's the difference between these two sheets. Okay, Rabbanan, he disagrees with Rabbi. He says that three Hashemas, by Gidon, it says that he came out to the edge of the camp at the head of the middle watch. So he's middle watch means there's one before, one after. So you see there's only three. Rabbi Zrikan, time of the Rabbi. Why does Rabbi say there's four? One pasuk says it. He got up before two Ashmoras, so obviously he's getting up before two. Obviously, if he's in the middle, so there's two ahead of him and two behind him, and you've got four. Each one's reason. So that's just a repetition of what we said earlier. What is Reb Nosson going to do with the Chatzos HaLaila proof of Rebbe? So more answers. It depends. There are different times that David HaMelech would get up at different periods of the night. Sometimes he would get up at a Chatzos, and sometimes he would get up earlier than two Ashmoros. So when is that? Which case was which? If he was entertaining guests, so then his party might go a little late. So let's say he'd go to sleep at 6 o'clock. So then he would get up at Chatzos. He'd get 6 hours of sleep and he would get up at Chatzos. But if he was only eating by himself, then he would come to any Ashmoras. He would get up. He'd go to sleep earlier and then he'd get up earlier because he got more sleep. So if he goes to sleep, let's say 3 o'clock, he'd wake up at 10. That's 7 hours later and he would be ahead of two Ashmaras because that's one 2/3 of the night still left behind. So that's how he gets out of it. In other words, sometimes David was up at Katzos, sometimes he was up at 10 o'clock. But in any event, it never happened that he would be found sleeping in the morning. Right? Even if he could not arise at midnight due to illness, he would at the very least rise before dawn. No, footnote 24, very important. So no matter what happened, he was never asleep when it came time for sunrise or alos. I am going to wake up the dawn. Is here Yukari Kume Yukari Navari. Let my own honor awake for the sake of my creator's honor. My own honor is insignificant. Before my creator's honor, I'll wake up the dawn. I'll wake up the dawn. Dawn will not awaken me. His Yitzhar would say to him, David, the way of kings, let's say these are the Jewish kings, that the morning would wake them. They would wake up when the sun starts shining through the window. But you're not going to be like a king. And the way of the Goyish kings, let's say, is they'd sleep until the third hour of the day. You're going to wake up at Chatzos. For who honored of the response to his Yetzirah, so to speak. Yes, I'm going to get up at midnight. While Mishpatei for your righteous ordinances. What does it mean for your righteous ordinances? So what does this mean? So there's two things here. One thing here is that when that his great grandmother Ruth, who came to Boaz in the middle of the night, and he woke up, and let's say it was Chatzos in the middle of the night, so he could have cursed her, but he didn't. He gave her a blessing and married her. So he has a certain hakaras hatov, so to speak, to rise at midnight and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah says everybody should wake up before dawn. Right? So also the pshat is that that the pshat is al mishpatei kikacha, because he felt a certain obligation to learn Torah at night. We're going to see in a minute, because he is going to be judging. Many people came for him for judgments, and he felt he needed to be well versed in Torah, so that's why he was learning as well through the night. What did he do? So now we're on 7a. Reb Pinchas, v'shem Reb Elazar, Reb Menachem, hayanoitel nevo v'chino v'noisim v'rashay. So he would put it the harp on his head. He would play them at night. That way the Torah scholars would hear the music. Once they would hear the music, what would they say? We for sure have to learn Torah. So it says over here, in footnote 2, this is where he mentions the Mara Folda. He says, means he would sing God's praises, but then he would go and engage in intense Torah study to acquire knowledge necessary to issue the proper decisions for people who came for judgment. That's where I got that from. So he rose at midnight for two purposes. One was to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by singing his praises, right? And there was also the Mishpatei Tzikach. Okay. Yeah, there are other pshatim here. Amar of Levi. There's another way to learn that how the harp worked. Not that David actually played the harp, but Kinor Hayatoli connected Chalanosu Shal David. There was a harp hanging there, and the Ruach's finest when Hashem's Malay went out to Tefesmo, that the north wind would blow and would play the harp. Now, the harp is not a wind instrument, so I'm not sure exactly how wind plays a harp. I haven't figured that one out. Hado d'ksiv ha'yin k'nagin ha'menagin, the instrument played. K'nagin ha'menagin, k'siv kana ela k'nagin ha'menagin. Hakino ha'yin menagin me'ilo. So it's the posek sounds like the instrument played itself. Now, ma'amakayim rebbi tamid r'basin, reish ha'ashvores ha'tichayna. What does it mean that the middle watch, if it's middle, that means it's only three watches. What does Rebbe do with that raya? So he answers, sof shoshim v'raya shoshlishis. What it means is he's in the middle of this. He's at the end of the second watch, in the beginning of the third watch. There's four watches, so he's 11:59 to 12:01. That's the second one into the third one, so that's the middle of. Hey, Miss Sachvos and Salaila, they divide the night in the middle. We had the word before about Tovech. Tovech, it means the middle. Amar Mona of Yos, can that be the right shot? Does it say middle ones, middle watches? You're making it sound like you're between the second and the third, so it's two watches. Latichona, it says it's the middle watch, it says it's singular. So the Mar says his own explanation, Kad Maisa lo mishashva. There are four watches, but the first one's not counted. There are still people who are up. So since there are people who are up, the first one doesn't count, so you only have three left. And therefore, Gidon came at the beginning of the middle watch, meaning, let's see what it says here. Beginning of the middle one of the three watches in question. So that means it's the beginning of the third watch, which is the stroke of midnight. Let's see, how does this work again? So you have four watches. The first one doesn't count. So what does middle mean? This damn shot over here. We read footnote 9. I'm not sure I understand the shot. How are we answering the question? The first counts only the night watches during which there were guards on duty. Since people are awake through the first watch, So they set up watchmen only for the latter three watches. Most of the camp would be sleeping in the last three watches. Gideon had to schedule his nighttime attack, and the majority of the camp was asleep. So he came to the camp at the head of the middle watch. That's the beginning of the middle one of the three watches in question. If you take all four watches of the night into account, this was actually the beginning of the third watch, which is at midnight. So why is that third? No, that's not third. No, that's not the issue. The issue is what's Tichonu? How is it Tichonu? The Pshat is, okay, I see. So Tichonu, it's the beginning of the Tichonu, means there are three watches left. The first watch, everybody's still up, so we discount that one. There's four altogether. So you have the second one when people are going to sleep. And then as you come to the next two, so you have three altogether sleep where they're sleeping, he comes to be Tichonu, means the middle one of the three that are remaining. That's what that means. Okay. So now we got the pshat. Okay. Everybody, have a good evening.